Think about this for a minute. Janet Jackson, the Police, Suzanne Vega, Joe Cocker, the Carpenters. They all recorded for the same record label. We're not talking about a major, but one of the most eclectic and powerful independent labels from the early 60s to the late 80s. This year marks the 50th anniversary of A&M Records, and NPR's Mandalit Del Barco has their story.
Trumpeter Herb Alpert says it all began with a song he recorded in 1962 with his band, the Tijuana Brass, inspired by the bullfights he used to go to in Mexico with his friend Jerry Moss, a records promotion man.
I was intrigued with the brass band in the stands announcing all the bullfight, and I was trying to capture that feeling. Jerry came up with the name.
The Lonely Bull was the first hit for their fledgling record label, A&M, the initials of Alpert and Moss, the company they started out of Alpert's garage in West Hollywood.
I built a room inside the garage so I could, you know, go out there in the middle of the night and start blowing the horn and nobody would bother me.
We kind of wired it up a little bit in the sense that there was a two-line phone in there, and Herb's was a two- or three-track Ampex tape recorder.
I had two tape recorders. When I heard Les Paul doing his multi-tracking on How High the Moon, I got intrigued with that sound, and I recorded the trumpet in one tape recorder and then went to the second tape recorder and overdubbed the trumpet again, and that was kind of the start of the Tijuana Brass sound.
Alpert says from the start he wanted A&M to be something different from the cold corporate record labels where he'd recorded before, something more personal.
Jerry and I were in sync, not wanting to find the beat of the week. We wanted to find artists that had something special to say in a unique way. We were just thinking about how could we put out great records? How could we put out records that we would buy ourselves?
Herb Alpert says he wouldn't necessarily have bought a Carpenters record himself, but A&M signed the duo in 1969.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near?
The Carpenters went on to score 12 top 10 singles. Their success and that of other middle-of-the-road acts like Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66 allowed the label to sign or license less well-known artists like Joe Cocker.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me?
And Fairport Convention.
How often she has gazed from castle windows all and watched the daylight passing in her captive wall, with no one to heed her call.
A&M had a remarkable reputation for both picking winners and for its eclectic taste, says longtime music journalist Dave DiMartino, who's now executive director of Yahoo Music.
Every record was worth picking up, paying attention to, track for track and numbers for numbers and artists for artists. A&M's accomplishments were fairly staggering. If you wanted smooth stuff, intelligent, folksy stuff, if you wanted hard rock, particularly in the 70s, they had a lot of it.
I don't need no doctors, 'cause I know what's ailing me.
The British band Humble Pie featured guitarist Steve Marriott and Peter Frampton. When Frampton decided to go solo, he stuck with A&M.
If there was ever the perfect label for a musician at that time, it was A&M.
Frampton says Herb Alpert, the musician, and Jerry Moss, the music lover, were always available whenever he wanted to drop in and talk, and they pretty much gave him carte blanche in the studio.
I mean, word on the street was, we've never had it so good here. They never once said, you should do more of this or don't do that. They just let us do our thing. We made mistakes, and we learned by our own mistakes, and that's sort of unheard of now.
Fram Hampton Comes Alive became the best-selling album of 1976. It was his third for the label. And just as it did with Frampton, A&M stuck with another artist until she finally scored a hit. From her home in England, Joan Armatrading says success for her didn't come until her third album with A&M.
If you think about that today, after that first album, I don't think I would have had the second album made. And then the second album came, and then they'd probably be saying, well, you've had two albums and you haven't done it. So A&M were very much into nurturing artists.
The label helped launch the careers of Joe Jackson, Suzanne Vega, and The Police. A&M continued to produce hits through the 1980s, but finally, in 1989, Ma says he and Alpert decided to sell their label to PolyGram Records for $500 million.
We really wanted to make it bigger, and they bought the company and they said, no changes. There'll be no changes, and you guys can run it the way you feel like. And then the first thing you hear is, we're going to close the Paris office.
Then A&M's New York offices were shuttered. Ma says he and Alpert managed the label for 3 more years before bowing out, unhappy with their new bosses.
All of a sudden, they were taking away from us our individuality. And we thought that's what you were buying, was the fact that we were different and unique.
Ma says they knew it was all over when PolyGram executives did away with murals painted outside the recording studios.
We had these incredible murals that were painted by Mike Cotton and Prairie Prince of the group called The Tubes. The A&M logo in beautiful ways all around those studios. And the week we left, for some reason, they just whitewashed it. And it was like, okay, that's who they are.
Moss and Alpert filed several lawsuits against their label's subsequent owners over contract disputes. All were settled. Today, the label launched in Herb Alpert's garage is owned by the giant Universal Music Group, which has released a 50th anniversary collection of A&M artists. To this date, nearly 600 of A&M's original albums are still available. Mandalit del Barco, NPR News.